What's up?
He's better than Oprah. Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, everyone.
I'm so excited today because not only do we have a very special guest sitting next to me, but in one of our windows, we have three of the amazing, I don't even like to call y'all cast members, three of the amazing Let's Get Up family with us tonight. So this is really fun, but most importantly for tonight only, we have a very special guest, Graham Breitenstein. Okay, let me tell you a little about Graham. Initially, I had my friend Leo, who was a cast member of Let's Get Up, and he pulled his calf muscle, and we found Graham, and he just had such great energy. Anyway, we had a conversation. He also asked me, he's like, what sign are you? We talked about astrology, and I didn't put two and two together, but later that night, I was looking at Instagram, and I realized that my friend Leo, who had just gotten hurt, was showing up to his drunk astrology reading. Oh my God. And it was just random that Leo had just gotten hurt, and he was the person that came in because Leo had gotten hurt. And he talked about how he would love to do a compatibility reading for Scott and I. Without further ado, I'm so excited to introduce you all to Graham Breitenstein. Let's give it up. I just wanna, you know, I think it's important for them to know a little bit about you, your background, uh-huh. And, you know, how you got to L.A.
So, party people, welcome to the Drunk Astrology Party. Yeah. Okay, so I originally come from Louisville, Kentucky, and got into everything creative there, like in my room, little Virgo, only Virgo in my family, everyone else, two Aries parents, loud and proud, and everyone else was really wild, and I really just, like, tucked into my room and just got inspired. I love music. I loved moving to music. And when I was 15, kind of overheard a conversation of how to get into a club. So I snuck into a club, fell in love with dance.
He, you know, you talked about you snuck into the clubs, but also talked about when he came here. You know, when I got to LA, I went and took dance class, but your dance classes were the clubs. Tell us a little bit about those clubs you went to.
Okay, so now here's the thing. The interesting thing was this was back in, you know, late 90s, like 99, early 2000s, in Kentucky. So there was only one club that I ever went to. It was called Coyotes. It doesn't even exist anymore. Coyotes, like, had the main room, which was like a country line dancing room. And, like, so then I was, like, 15, and, like, who I thought were, like, older women were, like, probably, like, in their 30s, maybe. Were like, come and dance with me, like, come on. So I learned how to line dance, and it was like, oh, okay, this is cool. But then they had, like, a rave room, didn't like the music, it was too for me, but I liked the visuals. Top 40s room was like, grab a girl, grind, because that's what we did. But then there was the hip-hop room. Now, it was a little uncomfortable for me to be in the hip-hop room, because I was pretty much the only
white guy,
fair-skinned, in there. And it was really, like, touchy even then. So I used to, like, tuck myself in a corner and watch, like, as people, like, battled each other. And it would be like boys against girls. They would have, like, little choreography. They would, like, they were all so fly to me. And I was just, so I would never dance in that room. first of all, I really couldn't dance. I just like loved it. So it was just like, I didn't want to embarrass myself. So then like I would like study their movement, boys and girls, and then go home and like turn the radio on and then be like, okay, what did they do? They did like two hits and then they like backed up. Two hit, like just all day, all night. Wouldn't do my homework and just be like, yeah, like mom and dad, sure, I'm doing my homework. No, I was in there like hitting steps.
It was 2 years ago when we had my annual Get Lit event where I asked the audience a question. I said, who is my favorite artist right now? And I said, I had Chip and Alex and Scott and the whole team go around to everyone in the room. And I said, if you got, write down your favorite artist. They had no idea why I was asking them that question. Anyone who chose Lady Gaga, I'm flying them to Vegas for surprise Vegas weekend. It was just so random. And we were going to see Lady Gaga's concert. So those four people and their spouse or their plus one was able to come. And so I get the chills now because it was like one of the best moments of Team Sean T's life. So in October, we ended up going to see Lady Gaga. But in addition to that, it was just so cool to be with some of our Fit fam that really comes to a lot of our events and just spend time with them and really have fun. The really cool thing is, and I found out after Graham started working, being a, you know, family member on my new cast, Let's Get Up, is that he actually danced for us that night. And he is an assistant choreographer for Lady Gaga. And it was just so cool. But more than that, oh, let's talk about that experience. Because everybody here loves Lady Gaga. I love you. I love him more. Because I know him, have a connection. But how was your experience with Lady Gaga? Everybody wants to know that.
Okay, literally unforgettable. It was all faded, you know, like, to think about like where I was the moment I got my first job with her, which was Ellen DeGeneres on the Ellen Show. Just Dance was still a single. I had auditioned twice, chopped, you know, got to like top 20 maybe, got chopped and was just like, okay, cool. So like dreams are crushed. Like that's my artist. Like when she came out, I was like, that's my girl. She was humping that orca whale in the Just Dance video in the kiddie pool. And I was like, that's me at a party.
How many of y'all remember the orca whale?
Like, that's me at the party. Like, oh, that's at least what I wanted to be. But no, so like at that moment, I was actually just about to leave LA for good because the recession had hit and I was trying to get temp work. I was just trying to like get any kind of job and could not get a job. So I was just about to buy a flight home for Thanksgiving that was one way and like let it all go. And I was staring at my laptop, like at the flight I was gonna buy and like bawling my eyes out. Richie called me and says, you have rehearsal at 8 a.m. You're going on tour.
I think it was really important for me to kind of get a background of you and where you're from and how hard you worked and like, you know, I'm sure you have way more struggles in your life, but just the not minimal struggle, but just something so people can see, you know, how you kind of got your way to this point. And so now, you know, let's get into the astrology. I want to ask you, Graham, you know, what made you get into astrology? Because we're going to do this reading tonight and I'm actually pretty nervous, but I just want to know what was your force, the guiding force to get you here?
So one of my best friends and mentors, she is one of three people that I really credit for how I function within the dance industry, how I function as a human being, how I've grown, how I've expanded. But I met her on a job. She was supervising choreographer. I was an assistant. And we just like magnetized to each other. So we actually ended up, the condo that my parents and I bought together, she ended up being my roommate for like a few years. And she used to always like just watch me. She's also a Virgo, so am I. And she would watch me and she'd be like, God, you're such a Virgo. And I didn't know what she meant. And I was just like, will you stop saying that? Like, okay, I'm a Virgo. Like, and I knew nothing. Didn't have a clue what it meant. So she said it enough. She's got a little Scorpio in her. We'll get to that in a second. But she got my mind going. Like, well, I wonder what that means. Like, what does that mean? So then I just started just, you know, looking up, searching things. I ended up finding like lectures and literature on just Virgo. I was only interested in myself. And I was like, oh, wow. Like the more I read about Virgos, the more I'm really identifying with this. And I'm starting to feel like I'm understanding my personality more. But then eventually I got bored with learning about myself and was like, well, then who are the people around me? Like, who are my family members? What are my best friends? What are the other signs that I've interacted with or that are in my immediate surroundings? And how do I connect with them? How do they connect with Virgos? So then I just started reaching out, and then now you can green light going on tour. And then that's when I really started studying. I started, like, I would find books in bookstores in the UK and Europe. Wow. I'd find online lectures from, like, Susan Miller, who's, like, the, like, mecca of, you know, like, she is astrology. And she was the first one to really modernize it and, like, use technology as a way to share astrology. And I just, all through those years, like 10, 11 years of being on the road, I just kept studying and studying, finding other astrologers and like connecting with them and taking their courses and learning more about birth charts, how to read them, how to break them down. And it just was like this like avalanche of just information. Even 15 years in to like studying, I still feel like I have so much to learn.
So I gave Graham both my birth date, my year, the city I was born in, and the time, and for Scott as well.
And we tricked Scott into this.
But also, just so you all know, I'm big into astrology, but don't have the time to study it like you do. And I've done a chart with me and Scott before, but didn't really have time to deep dive into it. But I know you're going to take us on a journey. So,
and I am 100% a skeptic. I would have answered only when Mercury is in retrograde. Hashtag just saying.
Okay, so here's the deal. When we do synastry, we're looking at two different people. We're looking at two different charts. And one of my pet peeves about astrology and chemistry with just kind of like the masses is like, oh, well, I'm a Taurus and, you know, he's a Sagittarius. So, you know, they don't get along. So, like, I can't date a Sagittarius. And you can't do that, party people. You can't do that. So when you look at chemistry, like just like we all know, like as human beings, we are all very layered. And astrology helps us peel back those layers. And each planet, if you think about the planets in your birth chart, you're really like, the planets are like actors. The sign they're in is like the role they're playing. And then when you go deeper into astrology, you get into the houses, and that's like the setting of the movie. It's like where the action takes place, which is how you can get into the timing of things. We have to look at both of you as individuals before we look at both of you as a couple. So the question is, who wants to go first?
Go.
Okay, so he's black and I'm white. I just want to clarify. We're two different.
That has nothing to do with astrology.
Okay, sorry.
That's culture.
He should go first.
You sure you want me to go first?
All right, I'll go first.
Let Scott go first. I always go first. He always puts me first.
Okay, so you're a sun sign Sagittarius. So this is a very cross-cultural, very interested in just the other, different, traveling,
yes,
getting to know different perspectives, learning. Travel is a huge thing for Sagittarius energy. And when you have, even if you weren't a sun sign Sagittarius, if you had it in one of these five planets, I would still say the same thing. Now, one of the personality traits of a Sagittarius is a sharpshooter. Very blunt sign. So Sagittarius are born at
He said that the emails that I sent. Sometimes I have Scott, a little bit of a tone.
Scott looks at himself. Hey, Dustin.
Oh, hey.
Scott looks at himself as, like, not direct. And sometimes I have to tell him in an email. I'm like, bro, like,
you're coming across a little strong.
Like, it's a little rude. Like, you have to, like.
So,
exclamation point.
Scott be cussing people out with a smiley face at the end.
It makes it more palpable.
Yeah.
So, Sagittarius are born at the darkest time of the year. So I don't know if you know your symbol is the centaur archer.
Okay.
So shooting the arrow up. Well, so the arrow is heading towards the sun, which the sun in astrology represents the truth. So that is the astrological reason why Sagittarius are mostly sharp-tongued. Because it's more like cut through the bullshit, this is what you mean.
Okay.
This is what you're trying to say, but you're trying to sugarcoat.
Okay.
That's a very like Sag energy. Okay. Now I'm gonna skip the moon for just a second and go to your Mercury. Mercury is the planet of communication. How we exchange ideas, how we communicate with one another, how willing or not willing are we to share our ideas or to say what's on our mind. You're also Sagittarius Mercury. Now, one of the blessings of that, because this is a double whammy of sharpshooting. You have a retrograde Mercury in your chart. So retrograde, when you're born with it, is actually more aware of its nonsense. Okay. Or of its sensibilities. Mm. So where most of the world, like right now we're in Mercury retrograde, so like all the tech difficulties and all the things that like have been going on, like tomorrow it stations direct. But for now, when Mercury's retrograde, most of the world goes, oh no, I can't do anything. Mercury's retrograde. Like, and that's not what it is. But I don't want to go off on a diatribe about retrograde because I could, but I'm not going to. With your Mercury Sag being retrograde, it makes you a little bit more aware of like, okay, hold on. Like, let me like check myself before, you know, before I go too far.
Okay.
And that's how he is with me.
Okay.
So like with work and money, he's very much like, give me my money. This is what I mean. Sean ain't doing this. But with me, and I don't know how much it deals with emotions, but with me, he's like that.
We're going to get there.
Okay. But go ahead. I'm just, you know, add my little 2 cents.
Yeah, no, that's good. So this is dialogue. You know, this is what it needs to be. Like, and
help me,
all
help
of you too. So now some of the lessons, though. One of the main lessons for Sagittarius in general, but for your sun, which is your vitality, the essence of who you are, and your Mercury, how you communicate, how you exchange information, is to lighten up. We look to the opposite sign for the lessons and the challenges. Okay. Gemini is your opposite. Very just like inquisitive. And just so instead of like the tough arrow that like impedes the soul, mm-hmm, with like a one line.
With an email. Okay.
To instead ask a question.
Or I have been known to do that.
Or to, you know, just like be inquisitive. Mm-hmm. And that's the good thing too about as we get older. We start getting hip and more mature, like, yeah, to like our own, like, oh, like I blew a lot of things up in my 20s. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Maybe I need to calm down. Yeah.
So that's good. I was gonna say, I would say it wasn't until I met Sean or experienced things that I am now there. I would say earlier, pre Sean, I was not, but go. Okay.
Yeah. So now moving into your moon. So now the moon in astrology represents our emotions, mm, and how we process things on an emotional level, or if we choose not to process on an emotional level. Now, you and I actually have the same placement here. You have a Virgo moon.
Mm.
So Virgo moons.
He's always like, oh. Yeah,
the Taurus in him, and we'll get there. But the Taurus in him, Earth sign, Virgo, Earth sign. Your Virgo moon is very tidy, very clean. We Virgo moons, I'm going to say it because I'm also a Virgo moon. We, in times of stress, we usually go to, give me a second. I got to get organized. I got to get practical. I got to do my lists. I got to get my tasks together. I got to clean. Like, the place is a mess. Like, let me just get everything, like, clean and organized.
Okay. You might be pegging me. I'm not going to share just yet.
Now, low form Virgo moon, and I'm no shade because I'm speaking for myself as well. We can be really controlling.
Okay.
Because we tend to,
I noticed that about myself probably in the last 2 weeks, yeah, but go.
No, wait. Tap into the truth, okay.
We tend to think that we do it better and that we know best.
I might have had that internal conversation.
Because, and I'll go ahead and validate you, most of the time we do.
Okay.
So Virgo energy in general, and especially when it's in your personal planets, is a overthinker, and we consider every last detail to the beginning, to the end, to what could the possible outcomes of like different endings. We are very methodical and practical in our thinking.
If I could tell you a story, it was early in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Here in LA.
If we were here in LA, it's he, him, me, my parents. Sean's like, could you go into 7-Eleven and get me a coffee? So I go into 7-Eleven. They have a coffee bar, right? And I'm like, this is too much. Like, I know he likes French vanilla. I know he likes regular. And I know he likes some cream. And I know, but there's pumpkin. And they're like, oh my God, there's this. And there's this. And they're like, there's this cream. And it's, I need to allergic to cream. And it's like, I almost, my smoke was coming out of my ear. I was in there for 20 minutes. 20 minutes?
Aw, little Virgo moon.
But he was, and they were, he's like, okay, so I'm back in the car. Where are you? I'm getting you coffee. Like, leave me alone. I'm trying to figure this out because I was trying to make the perfect cup of coffee.
For 20 minutes for 7-Eleven coffee?
For you.
Yeah, but I was like, anyway, go.
I was very stressed. And I just remember coming in afterwards and he was mad because what took you so long? And he's like, come on. I was like, you don't realize there was this and this and this and this and this and this.
I'm like, I didn't say that. I didn't tell you to
do that. I know you like two sugars. I know you like dessert. And I put it in this. And it was like, anyway.
Well, and that's the thing too. Virgo energy is service minded. We're service oriented. Mm-hmm. So we want to help. We're like, Virgos are just born to serve. Like, I'm a sun sign Virgo. I'm a moon Virgo. I'm a Mercury Virgo. I'm a Mars Virgo. I'm a Virgo rising. It is ingrained in Virgo energy to help and to get a good grade on the report card. So, it's not just for his Virgo moon. It's not just, getting you coffee. It's that he wants you to be satisfied with the coffee.
And it to be the best coffee.
I think I'm going to cry already.
It wants to be the best coffee on the planet. I want to make sure that I'm getting an A. I want to make sure that, I did it in a certain time period. I got to go. I'm putting all this pressure on myself. Let's go, people. Come on. You're failing. Let's go.
Right. While he's stressing me out. I get it, but I'm just
God, I really can't wait to get to you, Sean.
I'm a lot.
I'm going to make this statement.
I know I'm a lot.
I've never met him before. I've never spoken to before, and a lot of the things he's saying, I'm like, I might agree with some of the things you're saying.
The skeptic, mind you. Okay.
Keep going. Please.
Okay, so now we're going to move down to your Venus. Now, Venus, of course, is in Greek mythology. She's Aphrodite. So she's the love goddess. Okay. She's how we love and partner, so in romantic relationships, but also how we just connect on a one-on-one basis, how we connect with our cast members over here. Okay. How willing or not willing are we to connect, to love, to balance, to harmonize through relationships?
Okay.
So now your Venus is a little stressed. She's in the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn is a sign of boundaries. And the most boundaried energy of the zodiac, because it's ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is, I like to call Saturn the astro dad.
Okay.
Because it's the energy of discipline and responsibility and accountability. So the way you love and connect can be a little cold.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn is the sign is the billy goat, but it's at the top of the mountain by itself. So my joke for Capricorns and Capricorn energy is that the Capricorn is really happy that it made it to the top of the mountain. It's the only one. It's got the reputation. It's got the status. It's got the money.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole village is at the bottom of the mountain having a great time and partying. Yes, so this is another Earth sign. And it is the oldest of the Earth signs. And this is where tradition comes in. Capricorn energy is very traditional and likes things to be okay, I wear white.
You're laughing.
Because it's
with
funny.
Me, not at me.
I think that, I've always mistaken that for him. I would always be like, you're so conservative. But it's not. It's actually not that you're being conservative. It's you're being traditional.
He's a traditionalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this...
Because I'm not conservative. At least I don't think at all.
Well, neither is he. Sagittarius is a wild energy.
Oh, trust and believe.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of fire underneath that, tradition.
Trust and believe. They all my Wine Night After Dark people, they know.
It's just it's a fiery chilliness.
Okay.
I'll be a little loud with how boundaried I am.
Okay.
But so a Venus in Capricorn is going to be really attracted to status, really attracted to dinero.
Okay.
And have a...
I might like money.
Let me just sit on back and let... let me sit on back and let Graham read you.
And very, very concerned about its reputation.
Okay.
And wanting to make sure that every box is ticked. I've got the money. I've got the family. I've got the status. I've got the job. I've got the man. I've got the kid. You know, it just goes. It's like, it is. I want to be the best at whatever you consider yourself to be, like a part of whatever community. It's like, I will. It's an ambitious sign that is focused on work.
I'll say this. This is the first thing that you've said where I'm like, when I hear you say focused, absolutely. For me, I go back to, as a kid, we didn't have money. And so for some reason that impacted me to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to hoard it. Do like so much that I can like bring and like put it in my pocket. Babe, yes. Look at all the money.
Well, and so you're like, about the Capricorn energy, I would say, is the Virgo moon calming it down. So Capricorn is like corporations, enterprise. It's huge. Virgo is the working class. Virgo, like, are the, we're the people that are really like, we're made for service work. So that energy mostly finds like the big things to be like, like being with the people is like way better than, you know, going for the life.
Yeah, yeah.
Being at the top of the mountain and not enjoying the party.
Exactly. Right. The Virgo is more like gonna analyze and criticize itself more than others.
Okay.
And last but not least, in your personal planets, and then we're gonna move on to Sean. Mars is the last of the personal planets. Now, Mars is our motivation. It's our drive. It's our energy. It's how we fight.
Okay.
And it's how we have sex.
Ooh, okay. Everyone just went like this.
Mars is a really fun planet. It's the red hot planet of war and action. So your Mars is in Pisces. Yeah. So Pisces is the last of the signs in the zodiac, and it's a water sign. Super intuitive. So now, on the sex front, that would make you an intuitive lover and very in tuned to the needs of your lover. without much explanation. Pisces energy is just very in tuned with the natural flow of things. So this is like where in your chart most of the other four personal planets are very action and very, I mean, although the Virgo moon's a little internal, everything else is external. This brings you back in.
Okay.
And this also is a soft spot. So Pisces is ruled by Neptune, which is the god of the sea. So now we're talking about fantasy. So that's really where this is coming from a cosmic point of view. This is more like, what can I dream up? Like the sky's the limit, you know? And it's also a very introspective. This is very spiritual. Sagittarius is actually a very spiritual and philosophical sign itself. Really interested in the like mechanics of spirituality. Pisces energy here and in Mars, you can really find solace in connecting with your own spirituality, like within yourself and the water within yourself. This is like a call for like meditation. This is a call to really like go inward, reflect, and then before you go out into the world and like and produce something for the world.
Okay.
When you talk about Pisces energy, it really like slows you down.
Yeah, okay. It does.
Because like the whole vibe, the whole room just got quiet. that's where your Mars is. So it's like motivated by creativity. And the creative flow, the ebb and flow of things as you're living all your other planets, all your other layers are coming out. This is like, okay, let me find how I can ride the wave of like, okay, high tide. And now when low tide happens, maybe the Virgo moon picks up and goes, okay, like, well, these are the tasks I need to do before the next high tide comes in. So you can really like tap into your inner space. If you ever find yourself in like high mode where you're just like there's a lot of external activity happening, your chart suggests that you should actually do the opposite of those moments and like find a room, close the door.
But he save a child.
He does it.
There's a joke that they always say, like, where'd Scott go? Mm-hmm. He's just saving a child somewhere.
When Danielle Natoni and Darren and Scott and I Darren used to live next door to us, and we would just be hanging out at the house, and Scott would disappear, and we'd be like, where the fuck? And we used to joke saying he's saving babies because he just like sneaks out, and we don't even know. But anyway.
This could also be, I don't know, you have to tell me if this is true or not. Okay. Pisces is like a hopeless romantic vibe.
I mean, my wedding nuptials was, I just want to fall in love like they do in the movies. So.
Yeah, there it is.
And my quote was,
there it is.
My quote was,
there it is.
You had me at hello.
Oh, come on.
That's what I said.
But I guess I wonder what, you know, I'm asking this question for you. What is the thing that's blocking that expression daily, though?
A blocking...
Like, he's just recently, like, in the last year, like, this morning, or yes, I think it was this morning, I was, like, super tired. He was like, I could give you some attention, but you wouldn't wake up from this attention. You know, like, it's just like he's just starting to be able to express that. And like that intuition feeling, I would say.
Well, Mars in Pisces is stressed. Mars wants to be in Aries.
Stressed.
Right? So Mars is the home sign of Mars is Aries or secondary Scorpio. It's the god of war. And Aries is the god of war in Greek mythology. Mm. So when it's in Pisces, it's like sludging its way because Aries is the next sign.
Right.
So there's an inherent stress there, an inherent block, because the energy of Mars, like water signs aren't naturally energetic like that. Like if Mars is in Aries, it's like, and we're going to get to this with you because you have some Aries in your personal planets. But Aries energy is just...
Who's like, Aries? Who is Aries?
Aries energy is
they
like...
They better not be in your planets, okay?
No, he's going to tell you all about me. Anyway...
But so when Mars is in, when any planet's in a sign that it doesn't necessarily like, or if it's in its fall or detriment, then that energy within the person is inherently stressed.
Mm.
And it just takes some internal, like for yours, it takes internal time and time to process and just reflect, like, where's this coming from? Like, maybe I need to ask myself some questions before I go, like, Sag, kill somebody.
Yeah, very true. Okay.
Time to get into Sean.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, Sean T.
Oh, snap.
Sean T. Okay.
Okay, so as we may or may not know, Sean is a Taurus. So the youngest of the earth signs, which has two different symbols. So Taurus can either be like the docile cow in the pasture, just like grazing and just living its life. Or it can be the bull-headed bull seeing red and charging fast. So there's two different, you know, when you look at Taurus, you gotta weigh the two. Like, okay, there's moments of like, damn, he's just sweet. And then like, damn, he's a motherfucker. And so here's the thing about Taurus. So Taurus is not only an earth sign, it's ruled by Venus. So you're ruled by the goddess of love, by Aphrodite. So you'll find that in Libra is the other sign, if there's any Libras in the house. Mm. Libra is the other sign that is ruled by Venus. So you find that Taurus and Libras are really, or people that have Taurus or Libra in their personal planets, are very naturally inclined to relationship. Venus is an energy that wants the balance of two people. It wants the harmony between two people and others. She wants the love. the affection. She wants that energy. So like when you get to Taurus, the underlying, the undernote of the earth sign or the stubborn bull is like, just do it my way because I love you. Mm. And my way, like, it's a fixed sign. So you're immutable. This is one of the things that, like, for sake of time, I'm not going to go into too much. But you're a mutable sign, as am I as a Virgo. Mutable signs are all about changing, adaptability. We're chameleons. Taurus is more like my way or the highway. It's a fixed energy.
Which is why it's so interesting you say that, which is why in my book I talk about being flexible and creative as a superpower, because it's something that I had to learn as I got older. Like, it's not a lot of the superpowers that I have in my book. Like, I start with getting uncomfortable, flexible, creative. Like, these are like my superpowers are things that aren't innately me. You know, they're things that I'm like, fuck.
Those were your karmic lessons.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so that's where some of the challenges of Taurus is the tunnel vision of where I want this and I want it this way, and if I don't get it, then hell's about to, the fury is about to come. Anyway. You also have some cosmic support here in your planets, so it's all good. Now, so that is one of the challenges of a Taurus, and you really look to Scorpio, your opposite, for some of like the lessons there. So Scorpios are also a fixed water sign, but
our kids.
Wait, what?
Our kids are Scorpios.
Oh.
Yeah, so want what they want when they want it, and very passionate about about that.
Yes.
Like, I want that box.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Give me the box.
Yeah. That's okay.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there is the water element, which is passion. Mm-hmm. And really, and tapping into that, and tapping into the ability to tap more into your internal intuition, and more of that like ebb and flow of like the Scorpio water element is where, you know, you might feel challenged at times, but that's like where you, if you can find that beautiful midpoint between like, okay, I know what I want, but let me be flexible on how I get what I want.
You know, my so there's something that's so crazy that you talk about with Scorpio. So this guy Draco and my friend Paulie, they're Scorpios, and they're just like, they're so wild and so crazy. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, it's almost like because I'd rather be by myself most of the time. Like, I'm the grazing cow. Like, I'm like, leave me alone. But when I get around them, I'm like, I want to do like everything that they're doing that's so wild and crazy. So that's one thing. But also my kids.
Also in your chart.
But also my kids are Scorpios, right? And it's so crazy. I had this thought the other day when I was with them. And I put myself into a learning seat as their dad, right? Like, I was just like I'm going to make myself learn from them because they are so like, they're so passionate about the thing that they see. It's like, they're like, and it's not like a temper tantrum kind of thing. They're very much like, I want to do, it could be a fixing, it could be fixing something. It could be math. It could be reading, understanding something. And I'm just like, I need to learn from this. Anyway, okay.
It's the wholeness of the thing that Scorpios are looking for. They want to know the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the right, the left.
Their questions are unreal.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, and that will, as they, as Scorpios grow older, they'll start, that'll start turning into their relationships and their connections. Mm. They want to know, you can speak on this, they want to know the inner mechanics of the person. Scorpios are very guarded. They're very protective because when they open the floodgates, there's a lot there. There's a lot to give. It's a very intense energy. And you got to be willing to like let the Scorpio latch and then hang on for dear life.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Sorry. I can get into every sign deeply. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to move on. We're going to move down to your moon sign. Now, this is where we start to see some chemistry between these two. You have a Pisces moon.
Yes, I do.
So now, if you remember, Scott has the Pisces Mars. So how he fights, how he has sex, sexual style is going to be emotionally compatible with Sean.
Yeah.
So there's like a fulfillment there on an emotional level. So like, while this one's the intuitive lover, this one's like, and this just makes me so happy. This feels so freaking good.
Oh my God. Like, funny. So true.
Because there, so in astro jargon, if there's any astro geeks out there like me, this is a conjunction. This is when two planets are in the same sign and they're meeting.
Mm.
So you all meet at this level of the dreamy fantasy. Yeah.
Are you able to tell somehow, and I know we're going to get into the synergy or whatever, it's something to think about maybe in a little bit, to know where the sun or the moon or something was on the day and time that we met.
Yeah, you can pull the chart.
Because I'm wondering if Pisces, we met in a Libra sun, but it's just like, I wonder if Pisces was like pulling strong. Anyway, go ahead. I'll ask you that question.
Well, yeah. So as you go, you can then start to say like, well, the day that I met so-and-so, and if you know, like, especially if you know the time, you can get...
Oh my God, I'm you so can excited. Go. This is why I love you so much.
Okay, now here's where we start to see the drama in your chart.
Word.
And that is in your Mercury. How you communicate, how you express yourself, how you exchange ideas, just your thinking mind. You have an Aries Mercury.
Oh.
So this is why Sean is so loud. Okay. So as I said earlier, Mars is the god of war, and its home sign is Aries. So this would be why and how you're willing to... So Aries is a sign of courage and bravery and strapping up the armor and saying, come on, like, bring it. So now this on... There's always high form and there's low form. Low form of this could be like, I'm going to fucking rip you to shreds. Like,
like, which is the worst.
The Taurus is like, give me what I want, and this Mercury in Aries is like, or I'm gonna fucking take you on.
I know, it's so bad. It's really bad.
On a bad day, this could be like really high anger and like temper and screaming and you know, lots of that. But then there's times, now that I'm just meeting Sean and spending time with him, there's time in Let's Get Up when you're just like,
yeah. Which is why my producer hired a voice coach, because she's like, you cannot scream like that. So I like try to be like, ah! I try to put it in my middle voice instead of like in my chest, whatever.
So like, you know, the high form is like, this is fun. This is wild. And this is why when you get around your Scorpio mates and they're like being crazy or whatever, you're like, I'm down to jump.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I won't jump out of an airplane though, but I'll jump in other places.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Aries energy is I lead. That's the big thing. So when you have Aries, whether you're an Aries sun or you have Aries in your personal planets, this is a chart that is like begging for leadership and begging for position, because you have the natural ability. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. When Aries was born in astrology, there was no one else.
Oh wow.
It was just Aries. Mm. So they had to pack on the armor. They had to kill the animal. They had to learn. And then you get into, then Taurus takes the meat and then cooks the meat. And then Gemini then takes that and sells the meat. Like there's a whole progress as you work your way through the zodiac.
Wow.
But this energy is like, it's just me. Low form again can be self-focused. Mm-hmm. Can be a little selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta watch for that. The opposite sign is Libra, which is all about balance and relationship and justice and fairness. So it's like in those moments of potential rage to say, what is the absolute goal at the end? And how do I make an internal contract with myself in this moment? Now that can be hard, like especially for Aries energy, it can be really, really difficult when tempers are high and like the fire's lit. but it's to really like hear a little voice inside to go, is this gonna help me get to my end goal? And if it's not, how can I compromise? This is the lesson here for your Mercury and Aries. How can I compromise in this very moment? Sometimes that's stepping away and beating up a punching bag or going to a rage room and just breaking, you know, whatever's in the rage room. Like Aries energy is so heightened that when it's expressed in a low form way, it needs an outlet.
I have one of my superpowers in my book is be positively selfish, because without going into like my entire childhood, like, you know, part of the struggle was like, well, it should be about me, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? And I just was like, and it just was always looked at as like a negative thing. And so I even had to change my mindset to be like, okay, how do I make this a positive thing? And in my selfish times, it's my time, not taking away from other people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to grow, y'all. Trying to grow. Anyway, good. But this is great. I love this.
Okay, so now we're going to move down to your Venus. So how you love, how you connect, how you partner, just with others. Now, this is where you get really, really fun. Because you have a Gemini Venus.
I do? I didn't know I had a Gemini in my chart.
Yes. Oh, so, no, but Gemini... Well, this is also the penchant to children. Gemini is the energy of kids, and it's very childlike energy. So, like, your youthfulness and, like, your fun and your play.
Yeah.
Your fire, and we're going to get to your Mars in a second, too. The fire in your chart is also that, like, energetic, but this is, like, the charmer. This is... Venus in Gemini is just like, oh, I can walk into a room and just, like, have a conversation with anybody. I can, like, I mean, like, even, like,
anybody. Walk by.
Literally, like, just like, even, like, that moment of, like, going to your dressing room and talking to you one-on-one, it was just like, shit, like, well, this is easy. Like, you know, like, not knowing, like, you know, what your sign was, because all those questions are, of course, running through my mind. What sign he is. Like, what about the people in the room? What's Lisa? Like, you know, doing that. But that moment, it was just so easy for us to talk one-on-one when we hadn't never met before. And so here, Gemini is ruled by Mercury, and me as a Virgo, I'm ruled by Mercury. But it's the other side. So Gemini is like this inquisitive, curious, charming, like, ooh, what's that over there? That's a little shiny. And then like, oh, wait a minute. What's that over there? That's shiny.
It's one and two and three and four.
It's very bouncy. It's very bouncy. And like here, there, and everywhere. So now low form Venus and Gemini can be superficial connections. Now this might be something that you experienced more like when you were younger and things were kind of like fair weather and just kind of like, I mean, yeah, you're cool, but like I'm kind of bored, so I'm going to go over here because I'm bored. And the Mercury and Aries won't have a problem saying like, not interested, I'm bored.
It's interesting you say that because as like now older person, and he's heard me say this a lot, I always say I don't have time for pointless conversation, because I felt like I did that a lot when I was younger. I would just be like trying to be down with this person and trying to be down with that person. I'm like, they ain't talking about nothing.
Right.
And so now, like, you know, I actually push that out. I'm like, if nothing interesting or exciting is going on, I'm like, I'm out. But I did struggle with that before.
Yeah, so that's like, you know, one of the lessons there, and of course as we get older, we start learning, is like superficial connections become less and less attractive. And then Venus in Gemini steps in and goes, you know, what's your mind like? Is more like the vibe, and like, are you smart? Or maybe not even are you smart, are you at least curious about the world around you? That begins to be like the internal dialogue is more like, oh, I'm just curious about, okay, let's mirror here, Gemini sign of mirror, the twins, you know, me, like curious about the astrology and like finding out that I do astrology, and you were very interested in like, well, we gotta talk.
I think everyone is interesting, and I don't know where that is in my
chart. That's this, Venus and Gemini.
I think everyone, and even when I hire people for my business, like Chip or Elliot, I'm like, there's something extremely interesting about it, them, but it's also like, I look up to them right away because they know something that I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what do they know that I don't know? Anyway, I'm rat chatting.
You are it's doing fine. You.
So this is the chatterbox quality of Venus and Gemini. So... it's ruled by the planet of communication. So it's just the talker.
Yeah.
And I mean, why I think astrologically, why you're so freaking good at teaching and at really directing while you're also fucking working out as hard as we are. Not everyone can do that. And I think, I know just from being around you, like in this little bit of time, that you love what you do.
Love it.
And when you love what you do, you can be so eloquent because you legit love what you do. I love astrology. So I'm naturally, because I live with it all day, every day, and you live with you in your business because it's a reflection of you, that you're able to really speak on it like you are, when even when we're dying.
You know, today we were doing this workout and we were dying, and I'm literally in the core of who I am being like, I do not want to do this. I was like, I do not want to do this workout. I was like, this is dumb. This is, dance should not be sucked this much. Like, I should not be this tired. But internally, I'm, the only thing I could go to is like, I absolutely love this feeling. I'm like, there's no other feeling that I would want.
Do you remember when your grandfather was born?
My grandfather's birthday was June 16th.
Gemini. So
he's a Gemini.
Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Continue.
So that's y'all had a really good relationship?
Oh.
Yeah. So, because you're a love nature.
Like, he treated everyone else in the world, and this is not great, but he was born in 1916.
He was younger than me.
He was born in 1916, and, you know, he never allowed my grandmother to wear pants or sweatpants. And my mom was an incredible athlete, and she had to sneak to play sports. But when I moved in with them, like, I moved out of my home when I was 14, and I moved in with my grandparents, and, like, he had his boy, you know, and I was just, like, I was... like the boy he never had, and our relationship was crazy amazing. And anyone else that would have come to him, because he was a pastor of a church, knowing that they were gay, like, he would have prayed over them and done all this stuff. But because it was me, I remember close to when he was going to die, you know, I came into his room and I was asking him for money. You know, I was young. Like, Pop, can I have whatever? And
he's like,
and he grabbed his wallet and he gave me money. He said, you know, we still need to have a relationship. We still need to have a talk about the relationship you're having with that boy. You know, but he never.
Was that the first time he acknowledged?
No, he acknowledged it to the boy when I wasn't there, which was like, my grandmother saved the day.
Yeah, so his son, the essence of who he was, like how your Pisces moon and his Pisces Mars were conjunct each other, like at the same point, his son and your Venus, how you love and partner and connect, were joined.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Steph's really written in the stars. Okay, the last of your personal planets is Mars.
Okay.
And that's, so again, God of War, energy, drive, motivation. It's in Leo. Where we see the call to the spotlight.
Yes, that's the Leo for you.
So Leos are ruled by the sun. So whenever you have Leo energy in your personal planets, there is a bright spotlight on the chart.
Mm.
And it shines really bright. So now the motivation and the energy and the drive behind, and now Leo's known for the theater.
Oh, welcome and to
drama.
The theater. Oh, yes.
And, you know, the performance of it all, the throw of the furs and the feathers and, like, you know, that's why you always look at me when we do, like, a little fashion walk. Because I also have Leo in my personal planet. So, you know, we love a good walk. We love a good pose. We love a good camera. We love a good ring light that we got on us right now. Like, shine bright, baby.
Shine bright like a diamond. That's why I can't wait to do that Vogue dance that Elliot and I planned.
So, you know, we're hams. We're fine with being in the spotlight. We're comfortable being in it.
I am totally fine with it. Please.
Yes. So now low form.
Yeah.
Again, we can make it all about us.
Mm.
And now this is like a double whammy with your Aries Mercury. So this is another thing to think about. Now with Leo energy, the challenge comes how does this affect the collective? How does what I want affect everyone around me, or affect my communities, affect my group? How does it affect the Fit Fam? How is it going to look on? So the Venus in Gemini is like, let's get on social media. Let's like post and post and post. Let's do this. But now the challenge of your Mars, like being so creative. Leo is a very creative energy. It's a creative vibe. Loves the theater. Loves all the drama. But now when it gets to low form of being like, this might be a little too self-focused. How can I make what I want to create better for the community? Which I think is like what you're living.
Yeah.
And I think what you've been living.
I think I live Leo positively, like out there.
Yeah.
I think emotionally I live Leo in a negative way. Because when I get super stressed, you know, it's like, you know, to him I'm like, okay, it's your job to take care of me. Like, I don't give a what you going through, and that's not good. Like, you just realize, I mean, just like, I'm just
screw
like,
your feelings.
Yeah, like,
take care of me.
I'm like, you don't got feelings right now, you know, but that's, but it just is like, open that up. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
He said that at the very beginning of our relationship. He's like, when I get sick, I'm going to be the biggest baby and I need someone to take care of me. I'm like, at least we established it right now, because I know 10 years, 11 years in, I know what I know the
you
role.
Know what you're getting
I got
into,
this.
Yeah.
I got this.
He's really good at it too. But that's something good to know, to work on in my relationship. I think in my job and like what I love to do.
Yes.
Because it's, I mean, not that my relationship doesn't bring me joy, but I believe that your relationships is also the place where you're most comfortable and you can really share the fear. It's like, I think sometimes it may go too low. But
you have to think too, like eventually the lights have to come off. The cameras have to get shut down.
But you know, like,
get turned
but
off.
I'm all about the show must go on.
I know. So,
okay.
But that is where the moment when the lights are off, the cameras, the laptops, everything is shut down, where you go, okay, am I being too self-focused? How is this going to affect, you know, the opposition to Aquarius, or where the challenges are for your Leo Mars is like, how is it going to affect my immediate surroundings?
Circle,
so
yeah.
How is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect Chip and Elliot? How is it going to affect, you know, our friends? Like, you know, like, yeah. If I have some blowout tantrum or whatever the moment is, when it's just what we would say, I guess, is more like behind the scenes.
Yeah, I say to them a lot. I think Chip may know I say this. I'm like, oh, younger Sean T, this would handle this completely different. You know, I would be like, and I still have those qualities. I think sometimes some people who believe in astrology, I completely believe and it's a part of me, but some people just think that it may be from their upbringing. But I often make a conscious effort to not react the way that I innately want to react. I have to go through a therapy session within myself within like 8 seconds. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, don't act like that. Like, you already know where that's going to end up, you know? And so, but it's very tough. But that has also helped change me with therapy as well. You know, just because a lot of people aren't self-aware, which is a whole nother thing.
Okay, so now we're actually going to, I want to talk about one thing that you all share in common before we actually like look at your synastry chart. So y'all are both fire dominant in your charts. Now that's beyond your personal planets. I counted up all the rest of your planets. And a couple little asteroids too. That's a whole other conversation, but you know, I could go on and on about this stuff, but you're both fire dominant. So the fact that both of you are so active, it's like y'all are like this endless source of like energy. There's an abundance of energy like within both of you as individuals. Now, if I was to give you a full-on reading, I would say as fire dominant people, you got to be careful you don't, you know, dictate and over I'm gonna choose my words.
No, dude, be for real.
No, like just not like the overbearing of taking over, because fire energy is combustible. It's just that it's like it can go from 0 to 1,000 and one flick of the match.
And it has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that's an interesting thing with both of us, which, you know, we both know our combustible limits, and yeah. we both will push them at certain times. And it's like, I want to see who gonna combust first, you know? But it's true, you know, I mean, we've been together 10 years, so we know.
So that's one thing. So, and let's see, y'all have deficiencies different though. Like, so Sean, you're earth deficient, so watch the money, manage the money. Financial advisors could be the, or maybe that's him.
But that is him.
And now you're water deficient. So that's where, like, compassion and empathy might be a little foreign. Might feel like a little bit of a foreign language. So that's more like the Mars and Pisces, what I was talking to you about. It's more like tapping into your intuition. Allow, because even though you're without water or you're deficient in water in your chart, doesn't mean that you can't, that the energy's not there present for you. It's just more... you have to take that time to focus on, like,
that's
I'm
why
going to relax.
When you said, in, like, intimacy, he's, you know, a Pisces, I was like, I don't know about that. Like, maybe you need to tap. He is that, like, that in certain situations, like, which I'm not, I can't really go into because we're recording this, but he's like that in certain situations, but in certain situations, you know, during intimate times, I'm like, I'm really not into this. And I don't want to tell him I'm not into this because I don't want to, like, ruin his flow. But I'm like, I don't understand how he can't feel that, you know. But but I just let him do what he do. Because I'm like, all right, well, the show must go on, okay?
Mars and Leo, the show of it all.
The show of it all. I'm like, okay, well, if there was a camera around, bitch, okay.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Okay, so now we're actually going to talk about how your charts interact with each other.
Cool.
I would really love to know how the hell you all met. Based on this, y'all could not be more different than, like, literally, if I didn't know you all and I was just looking at these charts, I would damn near be like, this is hard.
Well, I think that, okay, so that is so, I describe our relationship all the time. I'm like, we are completely
yes.
opposite. Like, there's a couple things that we both really love. One is sports. We both love sports and we both love travel.
Fired up.
Outside of that, we have, besides our sex drive, we have nothing else in common. There's, like, Nothing. The movie choices are different. The vacation places are mostly different. Even if we go on vacation in, like, the same place, we want to, like, everything is, like, completely different. But anyway, we met on what some people call a dating app, but it was a hookup app. That's why I was interested to know where everything was in astrology land on October 12th. 2010.
Oh, well, that's right? Pull the chart.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's just like...
At midnight.
And I mean, and the magnetic force was incredibly strong to the point where we started walking and I was like, there's no way that this person is... there's no way I'm not going to be with this person for the rest of my life within 3 seconds, y'all.
Yeah,
I was like,
some people
don't believe in it, and Scott has spoken about it before, but I literally was like, there's no way there's no way that my life is completely changed at this very moment.
Okay, so your sun, your Venus, and your Mars could not be more different. So the essence of who you each are as individuals, how you love, how you connect, how you partner, like the Venus and Mars, what you're motivated by, could not be more foreign to each other in a way that, like, the relationship itself might at times feel like a karmic assignment of, like, okay, I ended up with this person for a reason, and, like, I'm supposed to be learning something from this. Like, he's supposed to teach me something. Like, it can feel like this karmic lesson that you're both here to learn because you're both within the relationship. But I would say, after hearing that story, that your moons are the reason you felt connected, because your moons are both opposite each other, which opposites either attract or they repel.
So I'm a Pisces moon, which means he's a Libra moon?
He's a Virgo.
Virgo moon. Oh.
So now one can't exist without the other. So the Virgo moon needs...
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
The Virgo moon needs the Pisces moon to live a little, to dream, to float, to create, to just loosen up a little bit. The Pisces moon needs the Virgo moon to bring down the dreams and make them real, make them tangible, because Virgo earth energy wants tangible results. Like, okay, well, if you want to build this crazy creative thing, then we have to start at ground zero.
And who does that? Who says that?
Me.
Him to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Pisces moon is the dreamer.
So, and this is the thing, like, he always says, like, if we ever get into, not necessarily an argument, but if we get into a disagreement or a tough time, like, he always says, my base is that I love you. And I'm like, I already know.
God, you're so stubborn.
I know, but I'm like, I already know that. But for him.
But I'm like, we have to bring it back to zero. Like, you are flying off the handle here. I need to bring you back to zero.
Because the show must go on, bitch. Okay.
But now where you all have, like, really synergistic flow is your Mercury and, like, how you each communicate. There's there's an ability to communicate on each other's level because you both have fire sign Mercuries. So even though you might fly off the handle and even though you might fly off the handle, it's not necessarily going to intimidate the other. Right? So it's more just
like what?
Right, exactly. So, like, his Mercury in Sagittarius is the eldest of the fire signs. You have the youngest. Mm-hmm. So you can fight like a whining child at, like, you know, low forms. And,
yeah,
like, he can just be like, okay, I can call you on your shit because, like, been there, done that. I know it.
But why is it that, you know, when I've done my chart, obviously not to this extent, but why is it that I feel like, because I think my rising is a Sagittarius.
So is his.
And so, like, for me, which is not, it's not weird, but I always, even in a, I hate to say argument, because we don't argue all the time, but there are the times you remember most, because they're the toughest, right?
Right.
But even in those times, I'm like, I'm being a complete asshole, but I really want to be like him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm like, I love the Sag. Like, I'm just like, but I think it's like the Taurus, the stubborn Taurus is like, but I don't want to give you the credit.
Here's the thing. This is what I've really learned about interacting with Taurans, is that Taurus is very sensitive, like on the inside. But as soon as the Taurus feels something that's soft, it gets angry about that it's feeling soft. Mm. So then it starts acting upon the fact that it's mad that it's feeling something.
Yeah, I'm like, why am I feeling that? Another question. This could be an outside of astrology thing.
Yeah.
So as a Taurus, you know, I see red and I'm like, there's
charge.
Literally
charge.
There's no ramp up. There's not an airplane taking off. I go from land to 35,000 feet in a second and a half. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck you say? Like, it's just like that, right? But I wonder,
you,
like...
You can see in his eyes, too, when he just, like, all of a sudden gets this...
And that's why I have to tell Dustin, who is helping me with the choreography, and because there's so many workouts. You know, I told him today, he probably doesn't... He knows. I said, I know my eyes get really big, and I seem really frustrated, but it's not at you. I have to... Because he told me, like...
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why is this happening? You know, like, internally. But I know it's a struggle that I'm having myself. And I forget the other question I was going to ask you.
Well, are you ready for, like, the like, wrap-up?
Yes, we're ready for the wrap-up.
Okay, so we looked at both of you as individuals. We looked at both of you as your charts and how they relate to each other. But your relationship also creates a chart. Mm. So you take Scott's chart, you take Sean's chart, you combine them, and then the relationship gets its chart. So where you as a Sag, like in times of stress, I would tell you how to, you know, how to come down from times of stress, or like your Virgo moon, or for you like the Taurus and the Pisces moon. As individuals, you might reset completely different than what your relationship needs to reset. And when I pulled your composite chart, that is where I saw this is why this relationship is lasting and long lasting. So your all's composite chart, the relationship has this, it screams, this relationship serves a higher purpose. Because now your sun and your Mercury as a relationship are in Aquarius, which is for the good of everyone else. For the good of the community, for the good of the world, we're together to then serve you as a community.
This is
as
so a weird. Whole. It's so weird because just you saying that is like, even in our business, it's, we are both like really kind of service oriented people. Like, we want people to succeed. We want people to feel free to be authentically who they are, and it's really where we come together. And I think we thought it's because we're gay and we know what it's like to feel like ridicule, but I think it, hearing this, it's actually bigger than that, you know.
I think when I the second I saw your placements, I was like, I feel like they are not aware of how powerful their union is. There's probably a reason for that. So I think that as long as you two, here's my overall saying or belief about relationships, is that any relationship can work as long as each part of the relationship chooses the other part. So as long as that belief stays strong and that choice stays strong, even though you have two different charts that could not be more different. They do have its magnetic force behind it, which is your moon. But when it comes together, it creates something that is so powerful, not just beyond the two of you. It becomes something else. Then maybe rest on that, but not let the grandiosity of it intimidate you.
Or overwhelm you.
Or to overwhelm you. Or to prevent you from anything else other than knowing that this union is meant for something else.
You know, it's interesting because Scott hates the hashtag power couple. And I don't, for me, I don't place it in an emotional state that he does, because I think it's like, there's a part of me that feels like, I don't think that we're a power couple. I don't necessarily like that because it puts somebody on a pedestal. But I think that, I don't think a lot of people experience what we experience as a couple. You know, there's people who get married and they're like, I take you forever to be my whatever, but it's a struggle. Or there's a lot of people that get, divorced, which, they should if they're not happy or if something's happening in a relationship that makes them unhappy. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, I can say this publicly, there's no way. The connection we have is so strong, and the communication we have is so strong, and the openness I'm like, there's no way. Like, we are going to be the notebook. You know, I had my grandparents that were they were married 56 years before my grandfather passed away. And, like, I feel the same way that the energy was in their home. You know? Like, you just, it's just very powerful.
It's amazing so far. I mean, I think we're done, right?
Yep.
Like, we've just, like...
Scott's cosmic mic drop. He's like, I'm getting coffee at the 7-Eleven. Yeah, I mean, it's too much.
I think it's... what I was going to say, what I've been thinking is... So, my skepticism has always been like,
they're just telling me things that I want to hear, that I'm supposed to hear, that you're only picking up the things that you want to hear as someone receiving it, right? Because you're like, oh, well, that's me. And I'm pulling the things that I'm like, oh, that's me, right? You know? And then I'm like, well, there was only really one thing that you said, and I pointed it out because I wanted to make sure that I pointed out that this is the first time you're saying something that I didn't think was authentically me. And then I'm thinking, okay, listen to his reading and see if there are things that you are telling him that are me. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm like, oh, okay, so I might not be.
But when he was saying
anymore.
About me, were you like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely like, mm-hmm. Yes to him, no to me.
Everything
yes
was good
him,
for
no
me.
Me. Yeah, yeah. So that was really cool.
Thank you so much.
That was amazing.
Much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.